Okay, everybody back?
Yep.
Okay, good. So, are there any announcements from anybody?
Well, I can start out with two. One is just a reminder to folks who may be going to AGU, the American Geophysical Union, meeting in San Francisco of, the 5th to the 9th of December. Today is the last day for early bird registration, so I think it goes up $75 tomorrow. So if folks are planning, like I am, to go, I better do that. Signed in yesterday, so that's a reminder if people have not done that yet and are planning to link to San Francisco.
And one add-on to that is that we do have 5 climate literacy sessions on Monday and Tuesday during AGU. So
lots to do.
A lot of interesting things will be presented. We got 109 papers will be presented during that time between poster sessions and oral sessions.
Yes. So it will be this will be, I'm sure climate change is going to be big on several fronts at AGU, both science and education. So good. Well, I hope other folks are going to be able to join us. I know Tamara and I are certainly going to be there. And I think you said you're going to be there.
No, I wish. Our travel budget's pretty maxed out.
Yeah, end of year travel monies, yes. The other thing I was going to mention is something that Karen Hoeg sent around, which is their release of the framework for assessing environmental literacy. And that's going to be done on December the 1st. I think everyone got that on the listserv, so I won't read all of it. I just wanted to remind folks, if they haven't seen that, that this is framework is going to be released on December the 1st. I've added it to the front page of the Climate Literacy Network, and literally as we're talking, I'll try to add it into the event section of the website, too. So that's quite an important piece of work to look at how we assess environmental literacy. And this is respect for the North American Association for Environmental Education. And I don't know anything more about it other than it's on December the 1st. They're going to release it.
Okay, are there other announcements? But one thing that I did want to let everybody know, I know we've had a discussion about this on the Climate Literacy Network before, but I just want people to be aware. Scott and I have been working on integrating the Climate Literacy Network webpage with the Clean Community page. It's outside of the people that are involved in either or both of those projects or efforts. Groups just don't really distinguish the two. And so since we wanted to become more of an integrated effort, we are going to, so you'll eventually, we're hoping to have this ready by AGU, so we'll inform people when things are going to change. But, I mean, you'll still have access to the things that we have used a lot, like the teleconference page that announces and provides the information and access to the slides for presentations and things. You'll still have access to that. In fact, I'm thinking the URL is even going to be the same, although I'm not 100% sure of that. Scott, you may know more than I about that particular issue.
And we'd like to.
But all the things that we will we've already been using a lot, we will still continue to have access, just be visible through that additional venue in a more direct way. So just wanted everybody to know about that.
Coming soon.
Any other announcements or questions?
Since we seem to have time to ask a question.
Sure.
So this is Kristen. Well, we did some pretty exciting little changes in the last couple of weeks just with our organization. We had our board staff visioning kind of strategic planning stuff going on and have really included, have actually included climate literacy in our vision and our mission statement. And I've seen Frank Niepold wrote an article a few years ago on just the case for climate literacy, but I'm wondering if there's any other great articles that really get into why it's important beyond just the policy. Any other sources that you could point towards?
Well, there is, I mean, I don't know how it's different from what Frank wrote earlier, but there is, in the actual climate literacy brochure,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of language around making that case.
Right.
So that's one place you can look. Are there others? And we have a couple of white papers that are on the Climate Literacy Network site, but they're not directly related to that, but they have to do with promoting the need for climate literacy and promoting green jobs and that kind of thing. So those aren't long, so you might read them and see if there's anything in there that might help.
Great.
Yeah.
Do others have other papers that might be useful in this context? Okay.
All right.
Hey, this is Peg. I just might jump in just real quickly.
Yeah.
On that note, Ceres has a number of nice articles about climate literacy. You might take a look at some of the things that Mark McCaffrey's written.
Yeah, I was going to suggest Mark's blog.
Yeah.
I should go back through there first.
Yeah, he's got some nice nuggets in there that I think, communicate and educate, and action now, and issues that need solving.
Right.
I'm just looking at his website thinking that's probably, if I was looking for stuff, I'd probably be mining his blog.
Mm-hmm. There's also papers that Susan Burr, also at Ceres, has put out that are around misconceptions. And again, I think that might provide another case for climate literacy is addressing
mm-hmm.
misconceptions.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other issues? I know one of the things that we are working towards is Scott and I are also trying to involve more of the funded climate change education partnership projects to give presentations on this call. So we will be hearing, next week we'll be hearing from Karen McNeil, who's leading the regional network around Southeast United States, and so she'll be, and I think the acronym is CLIPSE project. So that presentation will be next week, and others that we have on the schedule out through actually February, I think, is one around TV meteorologists as climate educators, and one on the focus on the polar regions in climate change. And I've been engaged, I've been talking to a person around the Great Lakes region, so we'll have a range of interesting speakers coming up in the next few months.
Great.
Put it all in.
Another thing that I can let people know about, and we'll probably be wanting input on as we get it a little bit more ready to show to people, is in the Clean Pathway Project, we're putting together what we're calling a widget. It's a small online tool that any other group can put on their website and provide access to that. You can do a search on for different climate change education resources that have been reviewed and are in the Clean Collection, and it'll show up on that organization's website. And it's just sort of to provide another avenue where different groups can make use of the clean collection, such as these various partnerships, activities that aren't explicitly creating new educational resources around climate change, but are either identifying ones that are more place-based and relevant to their communities, or would like to have resources that are well-reviewed with annotations that support educators to using them. So we're working, we've used some language from one of the other NSDL pathway projects or coding language to create this widget that's will draw on the clean collection, and we'll be sharing that and getting some feedback from this group and probably the and probably the tri-agency group in the future about ways to make it most attractive to use by different organizations.
Okay. Great.
So if any of you are interested in potentially making use or finding out more about whether this is relevant to your own websites, we can talk about that more when we get a little bit closer to having it ready. That's another piece that we're hoping to have the first version available by AGU. So these are all things that are coming up in like the next month.
I have another question for folks. I don't know if folks have been tracking what the Berkeley, Earth Surface Temperature Group did. What was it, Richard Murphy or Mueller, I think it's his name, published a set of what was claimed to be sort of definitive global temperature stuff, which was widely reported as sort of diffusing a lot of the skeptics' comments around they're not, you know, that we're not really seeing global warming. And I just noticed today, I think it was, that one of the co-authors basically says, well, that's not really how I read it. And so there seems to be a really interesting discussion that's going to be around whether the surface temperatures really are showing growth, especially over the last decade, where some folks basically see global temperatures being flat for the last decade or so. So I don't know if anyone else has seen anything on that or has any comments on it. I just thought it was really kind of interesting.
Is the article published or is it just a conversation?
Well, part of the problem is that the Berkeley group released this material, I think, last week, and it got quite a bit of play. But there's actually four articles that are supposed to be peer-reviewed, and they have not come out yet. So part of Dr. Curry's comment was that this stuff hasn't even been through a review process, and that's the whole point of all of this stuff. So it should not have come out like that. And so it's hitting on several levels because there's some suggestion this is kind of like climate gate again. It's like there's some dissension amongst all these scientists, and it's kind of dealing with. So I just, if anyone else has seen anything and or had some comments about it.
No, I hadn't seen
it. Not yet. Okay, we'll look for it. You may see it in the press later today or so.
Sometimes it seems like we are our own worst enemies.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Well, we are, you know, the way we do science is not well communicated to the public, and the sort of the process, the kind of rough and ready process that we go through doesn't seem as clean and it's comfortable to other people. We're used to it. Oh, yeah, that's what happens. That's fine. But it's not true for others.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. It'll be...
It is, yeah.
It'll. We should make sure if something more comes out about it, we send it to the list.
Yeah. Well, I'll look to see if I can find an article that sort of captures some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it this morning when I was looking at stuff, so I'll send it around. I think it could potentially get quite a bit of press, as did the original discussion from the Berkeley group in the last couple of weeks. So
mm-hmm.
We'll see. I guess some discussion is better than no discussion.
Well, on a positive note,
yeah,
there
please.
Was news today about... scientists, I wouldn't necessarily say it's positive, but on a more positive scientific front, that the international group has gotten together to indicate that there will be more freakish weather disasters as a result of global warming. So they says that the final report is not ready to...
Which group is this?
IPCC.
Okay.
No.
It'll be issued, it says it'll be issued in the next few weeks, but there's, it just says that there's a two or three probability that climate extremes have already worsened because of man-made greenhouse gases. So hopefully people will listen more to this kind of report as opposed to some of the dissension that might go on with peer review results. So I don't see anything.
We always think of the IPCC as a gold standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm kind of wondering, do deniers see it as any kind of authority at all? I always kind of wonder that.
Yeah. Well, they certainly have poked holes in it, and, there's certainly some mistakes that were made, Himalayan glaciers and that kind of stuff. But, we recognize that it's probably one of the most comprehensive processes maybe ever made with a major scientific issue in terms of the number of people involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're now moving up to the fifth version of this, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it at AGU. Yeah.
Also, for those of you, if you're going to AGU and you don't know, there's going to be a meet and greet of climate change education projects on Tuesday evening.
Oh, good.
So people can probably continue to network with everybody there that's involved with climate change education and climate literacy.
So, Tamara, that reminds me, we should, just between the two of us, get as much information as we can about AGU up on our website. I'm just playing around with it right now and realizing, that needs to be updated. So that's one of the things, is to make sure that people, we have in the past put together a page that said, okay, here's where all the sessions are. So this same time, I don't think we can.
Yeah, I looked up the schedule, and it's just packed on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
There are a sprinkling of other climate change sessions or papers at other times, but the ones that we coordinated are all on Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Well, we'll try to get some summary of that, or at least point people in the right direction up on the website, so anyone's there has at least a fighting chance to get to most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is your intention to put together another page like this? Should we be trying to do that so we have something to hand out?
A one-pager to hand? Probably not for the individual papers because there's 109 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But we could potentially put together just for those sessions.
Yeah.
Because we'll have the other piece that I'm not sure if people know, but we'll need to get the word out, is that CLEAN needs science reviews for our resources that have made it through the entire process, and we want an expert science review. It's gone through science review at a low level, but once a resource makes it past every bar, we want somebody who has expertise in the particular area of the resource to do a final science review. And that's been a struggle to get. And we piloted a way of doing it at a professional meeting during the ESA Federation meeting in July. And we're going to have Frank Niepold is helping us, is going to have a section of the NOAA booth where we can solicit AGU members to provide science reviews for resources that are in their areas of expertise right there at the AGU meeting. And so we'll be hopefully advertising to a wide range of scientists to see if we can get people to come. At the ESA Federation meeting where we piloted this, there's more technologists than people with expertise in science, but AGU has 19,000 scientists there. So we're hoping that will work out. And it'll actually be a section where we identify the resources and we have them a little card with all of them displayed but categorized by topic area. So somebody who has expertise in, let's say, polar science can look at the names and the short descriptions of those resources that address that area and then can pick one. And also has an estimate of how long we think it'll take to review. And then they can either do it there, we'll have a computer there, and it's all online where you have a link to the resource and you read the resource, and then the review is through SurveyMonkey, which is also another link online. You can either do it right there, or you can take the card with you and do it and then bring it back or let us know when you've completed the review. So we're going to be doing that during the AGU meeting also, getting science reviews. So if you know people who are scientists that might be able to help out, you can let them know that we're going to be looking for those science reviewers.
Yeah, that'll be good.
All right. Are there any other interesting things or topics that people would like to discuss?
Hi, everyone. This is Noah Newman with Coco Roz. Sorry, I came in a little bit late to the call today. You mentioned the schedule of presentations for this conference call, and I actually wondered if I can potentially get in line on the schedule sometime. I know it went past February, but I'd love to present to the group about Coco Roz, citizen science, and what we're doing with climate literacy.
Sure. And it only goes past February. It goes as far out through the academic year, so we just haven't put all the dates out that are empty yet. So if you want to pick a date and then talk to me or Scott, we can get you on the schedule.
Okay. No, I'll send you an email, and we'll work on that. Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay.
That's great.
And that's true. I know Kristen's done some presentations for us already, but anybody else who's on the phone who might be interested in presenting their effort in this area is welcome to do a presentation also. And you can even be at an early stage in your project where it might be useful to get input from a broader community about the work that you're doing. So you can look at it in two ways. One is presenting and getting people to know your project, but also getting input from a community about particular questions you have in terms of directions you might want to go as you develop whatever it is you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if there is nothing else, then I'll ask again, are there any other comments, questions, discussion points? Okay, then I'll remind everybody that next week Karen McNeil will be giving a presentation about the Climate Change Education Partnership in the Southeast United States. It's called CLIPSE, and that will be next Tuesday. And I also won't be able to be on the call. I will be at NSF next week, so I'm actually going to ask Scott if he can facilitate the call and introduce Karen next week.
Quite likely.
Okay.
Bye. Very good.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much for calling in, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Tamara, are you still there?